comes the sun, I say it's all right. Soper's Sun has our half-hour news program, Here Comes the Sun, everything under the sun, actually. In the studio with me is Jane Bachrach, our photographer.
Hi, it's the Jane Raider.
And we got Megan Tackett, our reporter.
Hey, you.
And Eden Chante, owner, founder of True Nature.
Yes, along with my wife, Deva.
Yeah. So we're going to talk. You might have seen our issue out there on stands right now. We did a story on True Nature. Well, Megan did a story. I'm not going to take credit for it. On True Nature and its new Kiva and the opening ceremony that took place last weekend. If we have time at the end, we might chat a little bit more about some of the other subjects that have come up and are stored in that paper. So, Megan and Eden, of course, tell us about what happened, and Jane, for that matter, since Jane was there on, what, four separate occasions to take pictures?
Yes. Over the weekend, I was there on Saturday and Sunday, on and off, four different times. It was totally amazing.
So why don't we start with Eden? How did you come to the decision that you were going to do a 24-hour event?
Well, True Nature's definitely got its roots in yoga. And something that happens at ashrams around the world is that on very special occasions, certain days, times of the year, things are honored with 24-hour ceremonies that often have repetitive chanting.
Okay.
Oh, and Eden, one of the things I loved talking to you about, this was your first, and Davis as well, actual 24-hour ceremony of that nature, correct?
Yes, it was... It was really wonderful, and between 1 and 3 in the morning, super challenging. I hit a chanting wall.
I would have hit my chanting wall about 4 p.m., I think. You start, what, at 11 a.m. on Saturday and went until 11 a.m. on Sunday?
Well, it was a 24-hour ceremony, and we did about an hour outside, just kind of blessing the land and the Buddha statue that a lot of people know about, the new Ganesha statue, which is in the Peace Garden at True Nature. We did what's called pujas, which just simply honor those energies. And those deities, those statues are kind of like gateways to the self. They help remind us, you know, who we are.
I'd like to say one thing about the chanting,
yeah.
Okay? I was there maybe for 4 or 5 hours total over the 2 days, and would go down, and I didn't know, I couldn't really say the words of the chanting, because first I didn't have I couldn't look at it, and I just didn't get it. However, the chanting tune.
Yes.
Is so beautiful. I still, when was it? Sunday was the last day. Every single day in the morning, not right when I wake up, but you know how you get a song in your head or a tune in your head?
Yeah.
I'm still humming that beautiful, beautiful tune. And I've made up my own chant. You know, they're not, I don't pronounce the chant correctly, but I sort of made up my own based on yours. So it was beautiful.
I'm curious, so. Eden, is it still in your head?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've chanted it a couple of times at True Nature Live with friends, just because we have a couple of recurring weekly activities. And so we actually do that as part of our gatherings. And what's interesting about chant is that if you give the mind something positive to do, it can be super beneficial, but the mind, left to its own devices, can sometimes be destructive.
Absolutely. And I loved, first off, Jane, I can't believe you don't speak fluent Sanskrit.
Well, I speak so many languages that I just haven't had time to learn Sanskrit.
They all get mixed in together, right?
No, I loved that idea during our conversation earlier in the Kiva, that idea of intention and giving that sense of positivity and that good feedback loop for the brain. But that's so represented in every aspect of the Kiva. And I love what you were talking about, some of your future intentions for the Kiva, about possibly working with recovery programs and the directions. And I unfortunately didn't have the word count to include it, but when you talk about the West being a place of transition and also a place to honor that darkness in a healthy way.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the, you know, I think with the chanting, just to go back to that, I've chanted for an hour, for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, but it was something to go that deep and that long into those chants. It was, or that one chant. We actually, for the people who are listening, we chanted something called the Gayatri Mantra, and there's a short form and a long form, and Deva and I wrote a melody for the long form, and that's the one that we wanted to share. And it's all about welcoming the light. And light means different things to different people, but it means love. It means consciousness. So it's just welcoming that part of ourselves that we often forget because it's covered in doing or objects or fear or desire, things like that. So you're just using the chant to remember who we are as love.
Ian, can you talk a little bit about the statues and the deities and the symbols in all of the True Nature Center and how those act as reminders for self?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people know about the Buddha that used to be out in front of the original True Nature across from True Nature Pepino's on Main Street. And we moved that over to our new place, which is on the corner of Colorado Avenue and 3rd Street. So that's there in front of our building. And the Buddha has a lot to do with the impermanence of life and learning to work with change, but also the idea of love and compassion for ourselves and for other people. Recently, we installed a 6-foot-tall 2,860-pound stone elephant whose name is Ganesha. And Ganesha, we commissioned in southern India last January 2017, and it was shipped over. And it took about 7 months to get to us here in Carbondale, and auspiciously it arrived on the total eclipse. Literally, the semi pulled up at 11:50 a.m., which was the peak of the solar eclipse. And I was on the bike path biking into work, and I saw this semi pass, and I'm like, that's Ganesha. And then I pull up at True Nature, and they're unloading Ganesha right at the peak of the eclipse, which was really cool. But Ganesha is about removing obstacles. But it's really about meeting our challenges in our life, rather than avoiding them, because our challenges are actually self-created opportunities to learn so that we can grow and come into greater alignment with why we're here.
Why does the Ganesha only have one tusk? I thought elephants had two.
Good question. Well, in this realm, in this existence, we often look at life and reality as a duality, light and dark, good and bad. Fear and desire, the kind of these polar opposites. And the one tusk represents the fact that really we're all connected, that there's one consciousness, there's one love, that there's one existence that we're all appearing within as apparently separate things, when really we're connected at the source, at the deepest part of ourselves.
Much like the Vedanta teachings that you and Deva will be starting on March 15th, yes?
Yeah, we're actually offering something on March 5th. Is it March 15th? I hope
it is.
That's
what you told me. That's what's in print.
A week from this Thursday, so I do think you're right. We are doing module one of a conscious living series. It's called True Sadhana, which means true spiritual practice, and we're offering a variety of practices, many of which are connected to yogic philosophy and tradition. But there are opportunities to bring practice to your whole life throughout the day. So a lot of us think, hey, I want to go meditate for half an hour and sit on the cushion. or I want to go to an hour and a half yoga class. And then they leave the class, put on their coat, and resume their normal daily life. Well, this is an opportunity to look at teachings which work with your attitude and the way that you meet life, and so that your whole life becomes your practice, and the practice is designed to bring yoga into your life, which is alignment with what you really want and who you really are, connection to what's important, to your values, and then balance too. Those are the kind of the facets of yoga.
So one of the things I also loved was this idea that, you know, kind of when we talk about when I'm up valley and I tell people I live in Carbondale, they're always like, oh, that's where Fat Thai and True Nature are. So I love this concept that there is this ownership, that this is the gift to the town and it is a special place. But you had plans to expand beyond the confines of Carbondale.
Well, I mean, you know, we started out in a 450 square foot studio on Main Street and then expanded to the Third Street Center, which was really wonderful. And then we found this piece of property and were able to not only purchase a building, but the property next door, which is right by Colorado Place. And we were able to convert it by just listening, hey, what needs to happen here, into this peace garden. And it's turned out that this peace garden, which is created by a lot of wonderful local artists like Basalt Mountain Garden and Megan Miller and DHM, Laura Kirk, great landscape architectural firm. So we've had a lot of wonderful people to work with us. And the Peace Garden is open 7 days a week from sunrise to sunset. It's free to the public. It's got a incredible reflexology path, like one of 10 in the country to that level of creativity or complexity. It's got a labyrinth. It's got a, now we installed a wishing tree where people can write wishes on beautiful pieces of material and tie them to the tree so that they blow in the wind.
Jane, you got some beautiful photos of that, right?
Thank you. I did. But the grounds, the whole place is so beautiful and so peaceful. And you just, any of those areas, you know, you just go there and it's just peaceful. And you're surrounded by beauty.
And it's important because we live in such a high-paced, stressful town, Carbondale.
I know, that's true. Wait, and then I want to say one more thing. And then you go down into the kiva, which is underground, and all of the materials used are gorgeous, and they were all locally sourced, correct?
We just, as much as possible, okay, we source local companies.
Right.
People like David Rasmussen and Gabe, all the beautiful cabinetry.
Oh.
Alpen doing the unbelievable plaster work in there. Keith Brand with Terra Lynx doing the building. Unbelievable master builder. It just goes on and on. There's a lot of, like, amazingly talented artists in this town.
There are, that I didn't know about. I mean, those kinds of artists. And it is just beautiful and just so peaceful in there. And let me not forget to mention the spa. The new spa.
Yeah.
It's new. They built that as well, which is right next to the kiva. And some of the things you're going to offer, some of the modalities and the I don't know what to call them, are you'll know because you,
oh yeah,
you did the story, but there,
I do intend to become an expert on the spa treatment.
I was going to say, Jane, aren't you taking advantage of it this week?
I had one yesterday.
Which one?
I had the long...
The true ritual?
The true massage.
Ritual,
yes.
Did you soak in one of the
tubs? Oh, no, I didn't do that one. Okay. It was just massage with oils, yes, and all that. But they have these soaking tubs, which are amazing. But it was so amazing and so, you know, so relaxing. So
you can feel Jane's enthusiasm from here.
I'm sorry,
she's beaming.
It is a little after 4:15, so I'm going to let you know that this is Kitty and K, commercial free since 1983. Underwriting on Kitty and K is an effective way to market your business, reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with Kitty and K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at kittyandk.org. Support comes from Harmony Scott Jewelry Design, offering a local shopping experience in downtown Carbondale. Handmade limited edition jewelry voted local's favorite since 2001. Gifts for everyone from the town you love. Gallery at 199 Main Street or online at harmonyscott.com. Coming up at 4:30, by the way, Valley Voices, so stay tuned for that. Right now you're listening to Everything Under the Sun, the Soper Sun's half-hour little news hour, or half-hour, on Thursdays to recap what we put in the paper. Right now in the studio we have Eden Shante of True Nature. We're going to be bidding him farewell in a moment here, but I wanted to give him a last chance to chat about anything else that we might need to know about True Nature and its recent opening. Any vital details for folks who may or may not be familiar with you guys?
Yeah, so Eden, in terms of the future, you had this beautiful opening ceremony last weekend. In terms of the future, you told me that it's really intended to be an honorable healing space that can be workshops, it could be anything. If somebody had an idea and wanted to approach you about, hey, let's put something on, let's utilize this gorgeous space that you've built, how would they go about doing that?
Well, the best thing to do is just call, you know, True Nature at 970-963-9900 and connect with our team, and we definitely love to receive ideas about what people want to do in the space. But essentially, you know, a big part of businesses thriving in Carbondale is the ability to bring in people from outside of Carbondale to spend time in Carbondale. And so that's really a big part of why we created the Kiva, was to create something that was a destination that people could come in from all over the world to participate in life-changing, transformational, personal growth-like type activities. So we're going to be hosting seminars, retreats, workshops, as well as co-creating things with Carbondale Arts and others, performing arts. It's got beautiful lighting and sound and can hold 100 people for just wonderful events. So that's essentially a big part of why we created, is to bring people into this great town that we have.
Awesome. I have one more quick question. You started to talk about, or Megan asked you, if you're expanding.
I personally was getting more at that idea of making Carbondale and True Nature an international destination.
Okay. Gotcha. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're actually not ready to expand at this point. We're going to catch our breath, and we're so excited about birthing this Kiva and this new spa. And we're just really looking forward to dialing in our services and programs and our hospitality, welcoming people so that they can do the heavy lifting. It's really about creating inspirational spaces for community to come together so that they can do the heavy lifting of looking within and doing the personal growth work.
Eden, thank you so much. I hope you are getting very restful sleeps.
Yes, me too. And it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all, Megan and Will and Jane. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for being here with us. In the last 10 minutes, I'd love to address a couple other stories we had this week. Megan, you did something on Beer Works and what they're doing over there. It is International Women's Day, so
happy International Women's Day.
Let's talk about that. What did you find out in that process?
Yeah, Patrice Fuller is a co-owner of Carbondale Beer Works, and she is part of something called the Pink Boots Society. The Pink Boots Society is an organization by women for women, specifically in the beer industry. And they really prop each other up, specifically through education. And so they've created scholarship programs to help women members further their own education in the industry through those scholarships. So today, they have what's called Collaboration Brew Day, and there's a customized hop specifically for Pink Boots members, and Carbondale Beer Beer Works, excuse me, for the first time, is one of the registered teams with the Pink Boots Society. And all of the ladies of Beer Works this morning came in early and started mashing and cleaning and are creating their own brew. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the radio, but it's called the Witch's Brew is the tentative name, and you can editorialize accordingly. If you swing by Beer Works and buy that brewery, once I think it's going to be about 2 weeks before it's ready to be poured, is what I think I said. Sorry, Patrice, if I got that wrong. but yeah, a portion of proceeds will go back to Pink Boots Society that help empower women in the industry and become even more fierce. And what Patrice described as a really fun, already very inclusive industry. I mean, there would be no beer if Chachi Rodriguez, the brewer over there, wasn't willing to coach the women through the process and help them through. So it's a really inclusive, fun industry. The men support the women and vice versa. And I'm just so thrilled that Beer Works found a fun way to celebrate International Women's Day.
Excellent. Speaking of witches, supernatural is the theme of Green is the New Black.
This, nice transition. That's
my
well,
if you read my lead, and hopefully the three ladies who I conjured around a cauldron are okay with that and won't be calling in to berate me. By the way, if you do want to call in and berate me, 963-2976, this is a call-in show. So we'll take not just, you know, angry calls, but whatever you want to bring in or contribute. Amy Haddon Marsh is growling at us through the window, so apparently she has something to say. But Green is the New Black sold out already for Friday and Saturday, but maybe still tickets left to the Thursday preview.
That's the rumor.
That's tonight, and there are still tickets. Well, there were about 2 hours ago.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty recent. That's
and it starts at 8 o'clock.
VIP tickets?
VIP tickets are gone.
Okay. Well, Amy tells us VIP tickets are gone. You may be able to stick it in there if you're not familiar. It's a fashion extravaganza. It's got everything going on in it. And Jane, you while I was catching up with Laura Stover, you were following around and taking pictures of her doing all these various aspects. We chose, because you may not be able to make it to the main event, we chose to feature one of the main magicians behind the whole thing, along with Deborah Cawley and Amy Kimberly, are the kind of the obvious folks. What did you find following Laura around?
Well, I've known Laura for a long time, but I didn't know everything that she, you know, can do, and she is so talented. I didn't ever see her seamstress. I don't know. I don't want to call her a seamstress. I mean, she's a fashion creator. To see some of the outfits, which were not finished yet, that she was creating for, you know, the models and herself, because she's also models in the show, were unbelievable. You know, one of a kind outfits. And I was just so impressed with what she can design. And also, you know, she's responsible for the overall look of the fashion show. And, you know, she's just amazing.
I would tend to agree. You know, as we were having our interview, she was just telling me all these other different ways she's involved. Like, oh, by the way, I model. Oh, by the way, she does the digital mapping.
Right.
That, you know, is
which is a big part.
Oh, huge.
It's a huge part of the fashion show. Yeah.
Yeah. Between the three of them, I don't know how they do anything for the last few weeks. Laura's had to stop skiing. She's an avid skier, and her friends haven't seen her. And it was kind of a miracle. She made the time to talk to us and do the story for the Sun.
Right. And on top of all that, she does all of the layout and production for the Arts Council. You know, designs all the posters. She does all the design. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Another
yay, Laura.
Yeah, late yay, Laura. I don't think, we might have brought her in today, too, but I think she might be just a mite busy for that.
Yeah, you know? They have a dress rehearsal tonight.
We waited for Eden to come in, you know, after his big event was over. So maybe we'll catch up with her another week.
Right.
One other big story happening this week, and actually kind of next week, we hosted, along with Katie and Kay and the Third Street Center and the Carbondale Chamber, a candidate forum with the trustee candidates for this year in Carbondale. Megan and I were both present for that. So you can listen to the whole thing on kittyandk.org. It was all broadcast live. We have a story that breaks down some of the highlights in there. Megan, I'm wondering, and Jane, I don't know if you've had a chance to catch up with some of these folks, or Eden, if you want to chime in. What did you find? What did you discover that kind of the trustees maybe agreed on, or were there any differences that you noticed?
You know, my big takeaway is I am so fortunate to live in Carbondale. You know, we have a real race, and yet I didn't walk away thinking, oh man, I really hope so-and-so doesn't win. You know, everybody was so qualified and so well-spoken and had such reason behind why they're running. Lots of people that have a year or two under their belt because they were appointed are now having to run. Of course, Dan Richardson's unopposed. It seemed like ballot issue 2A, there was general consensus. Everyone seemed to agree for the most part. That's a good thing. Everyone also tended to agree, you know, that they differed a little bit in their visions for what growth could look like in this town, but they all seem to agree that it's happening for good reason, and if managed well, it can be a good thing, and there's no reason that we have to sacrifice, you know, what makes Carbondale Carbondale and that small town charm.
Okay. Well, I think we're out of time. Amy's in here with Valley Voices. So thank you all for joining us, especially Eden for coming from the outside.
My pleasure.
And our talented staff, Megan and Jane.
Woohoo! Whoopee! Oh, Will thinks I'm talented.
I'm Will with the Soper Sun, and I'm turning it over. Have a good one.
Thanks so much.
Bye, everybody.